A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Here ends the reading of God's word.
Before I pray, I wanted to say something about Craig is at the Dakota County Courthouse in the jail. He didn't do anything wrong. He's part of the ministry that our church has there, so you can be praying for them in your mind and your heart as they reach out to prisoners there. And I'm so thankful for Cody and Callista and the band being willing to fill in this Sunday morning. Would you pray with me? By your word and your spirit, create in each one of us, Lord, clean hearts. Renew a right spirit in each of us. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Hello, I'm Christine. I am the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church in Hastings. Welcome. I'm really glad that you're here. You're joining us through online or through cable access. Welcome. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can reach into your bulletin. You'll see a GPS, a Grow, Pray, and Study Guide. There's space on one side of that for taking notes so you can capture any thoughts that you have while you're participating in the service. And on the other side, you'll see scriptures that are tied to the topic that is being discussed in this sermon so you can extend your worship into the week that's ahead. We're starting a new sermon series. It's on being neighborly, and the cornerstone text is what Ellen just read to you. Attorney asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? The story didn't actually begin there. The story began with this attorney who was an expert in the law, the scriptures. I went up to Jesus, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you're an expert in the Bible. What does the Bible say? And the man did know his Bible. He said, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus said, you've answered well. Go and do these things, and you will live. But the attorney said, wanting to justify himself, what justify means is, I want to figure out what's reasonable here. You know, Jesus, you and I are friends. We've known each other for about a minute or so. What is it? What's reasonable when considering who our neighbor is? Being an attorney, he was looking for some type of answer from Jesus, such as, well, your neighbor is anyone of Jewish descent who lives within 3 statute miles from your residence. I will, from now on, consider that person the party of the first part. And you are responsible to that person unless there is another residence of Jewish descent that lives in between you and said neighbor. I will consider them party of the second part. In which case, the party of the second part is responsible for caring for the party of the first part, and you are thereby abdicated from any responsibilities to said neighbor. That's what he wanted to hear. What Jesus told him was the story of the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan is a man that gets beat up on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's left along the side of the road, bleeding and dying. And as this Jewish audience listens to Jesus tell this story, 2 heroes of the Jewish faith come along, a priest and a scribe. And certainly they'll help out, but when they see the man bleeding there, they're worried or they don't have enough time, and they walk around him. But along comes a Samaritan, and you can almost hear the boos and the hisses, like the villain has shown up on the scene. And Jesus said he got off of his donkey, he went over, he tended to the man, he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, gave 2 weeks' wages to the innkeeper, said, please take care of him. When I come back from my business trip, I'll pick up any other expenses that he might have incurred. And then Jesus asked the attorney, who do you think was the better neighbor? Jesus had painted this attorney into a corner. Not an easy thing to do. And he was forced to respond, the one who showed mercy to him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. What the attorney wanted was something reasonable. But Jesus' entire ministry is one of telling people about the unreasonable love of God. God's love doesn't make any sense. It's really difficult for us to grasp because we don't love the way God loves us and loves this world. It says in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the 3rd verse, I have loved you with an everlasting love that never fails. That's the way God loves us. In my quiet time this past week, I was reading the story of Hosea and Gomer. I'm sure it's all your favorite story in the Bible, if we could ever find it. It's a little minor book in the Minor Prophets. And it's the story of this Old Testament prophet, and he is a firebrand. He's the kind of guy who would walk around with a sandwich board on, says, the end is near, watch out. And God tells him, I want you to go marry the town prostitute. Her name is Gomer, horrible name for a girl. And the first time that Hosea went up to Gomer and said, hey, will you marry me? She wasn't rude, but she must have just kind of laughed. Are you crazy? And after the second and the third time that he asked, finally she said, well, why not? And so they got married, and actually there must have been some affection there and some love between the two of them. They had some children. They named them really strange names. But after a while, Hosea, he had to get back onto the prophet trail, and so he put on a sandwich board. He went out there, and so that left Gomer at home with the kids for some really lonely nights, and pretty soon she started hitting the night spots in town, and then she started having some more children, and any resemblance to Hosea was a mere coincidence. Soon she was staying out overnight. Hosea tried locking her out, and then that kind of broke his heart, so he let her back in. Ultimately, she was gone for a couple weeks. Then he gets a call. We found your wife. She's over in some other guy's apartment. He's gone, but she's in pretty rough shape. He gets over there, and she's had a couple teeth knocked out. She's been cut up. He picks her up, and he brings her back to his house. Seems to be glad that she's still alive. And the end of the story, Hosea, is Hosea erasing his sandwich board, and on the front he puts, God is love, and it never ends. Isn't that a strange story? It's a story about God's love for Israel and God's love for us. No matter how unfaithful we are, God just keeps loving us. And it's important to remember that love when we're talking about loving our neighbor as ourselves. Scott Krostick is in the association of pastors that we're in through Church of the Resurrection. He pastors a downtown church in Kansas City. He used to be a youth worker, and he was teaching that at one point, I love this ritual that he had with his confirmation class. I'd like to bring it to our church. He had eighth graders at the time. At the end of the class, they'd all circle up, and he'd say, now what do you need for eternal life? And they would shout out, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he'd say, who is our neighbor? And with all the energy that eighth graders can come up with, they'd say, everybody. Everybody's our neighbor. It's such a high ideal, isn't it? It's such a beautiful ideal. Do you know who we are in this story? The Good Samaritan, Jesus talking to the attorney. Do you know where we can plug ourselves in? We're the attorney. We're the ones that are kind of calculating how generous we can be and how much time we can allow, and which one of the houses we can reach out to and which ones we probably don't want to. I don't want to go over to that guy's house because he lets his dog poop in my yard, and that really bugs me. I don't want to go over to her house because she doesn't take care of her yard. I don't want to talk to that person again because we have very different political views, right? And I kind of like that person. Our kids play together, so I can consider that person our neighbor. We're the attorney. And as followers of Christ in this class of Christianity 101, we're being taught to change. We're being asked to love our neighbor in the same way that we're loved, with this completely unreasonable love that God has. There's a man, he wrote a book. He's considered an expert in the Christian faith, and he wrote a book on being a good neighbor, and he tells a story on himself. He said, you know, I have a church, I'm a pastor, I lecture on being a good neighbor, and one day I came home and walked into my apartment, and there's all these strangers that are there. There's strangers sitting on my couch, there's strangers in my kitchen, there's some stranger that's got his head into my refrigerator, he's eating some of my food. There's some stranger that's in my out on the deck and fired up the grill and is grilling some hamburgers. There's some stranger that's taken out my guitar and is playing it. And he said he went over to his wife, Danielle, and he said, "Danielle, what is going on here?" And Danielle said, "Well, I've just been listening to what you've been saying, and so I just thought it'd be really great to invite all our neighbors to come over, and we're just hanging out. We're just enjoying one another." And he said, "I wasn't just irritated, I was angry. You know, I've been caring for people all day. I don't have time to care for these people, at least not right now." Does that sound familiar? We can't have those neighbors over because the house isn't clean. We can't have those people over for something to eat because we don't have anything special to serve them. We have a lot of excellent excuses why we don't reach out to our neighbors. And yet, we keep reflecting on this incredible love that God has for us and the blessings that God has brought into this. And the one thing that God is really asking us to do is love our neighbor. Do you think that maybe Jesus really meant what he said? There's a card in your bulletin. I'd like you to pull it out. It looks like this. I want you to fill this out when you're having brunch or lunch with each other. The center house in the middle, that's your house. There's some questions on the top. I want you to answer those questions. First, you have to write down the name of the people that live in the house. For me, in my house, that was kind of hard because people are coming and going all the time. Not entirely sure who's living there, but Sue could help me with that. The other eight blocks that go around the outside, those are your eight closest neighbors. And what I want you to do is I want you to sit down as a family and I want you to say, I want you to name the people, just the first names, of the people who live in the eight houses around you. When a survey was done with this, only 10% of the people could do that. I want you to fill this out and I want you to name the first name only, people that live in the house. And the second question is write down some relevant piece of information, superficial information about them. Those people across the street, they moved up here from Iowa. The people over there, they just had a baby. The people next door, they like to camp. You know, something that you picked up about these neighbors. Do that for each one of those eight houses. And then the third question is a little bit deeper. Write down some in-depth information, something that you would only know because you've connected with your neighbor. The man that lives over there has been laid off for 6 months. The people that live over there, their grandmother lives with him and she has dementia. Will you do that? Only 1% of the people that took this could fill this all out for their neighbors. I just got done listening to, as you did, two political conventions and people laying out all the problems that the world has and different governmental solutions for the different problems that we have. What do you think about the idea of addressing the world's problems by getting to know the people in your own backyard? No matter who they might be, maybe they'll be a different religion, maybe they'll be a different skin color, maybe they have different political views, but begin the process of bringing peace on earth to the 8 houses that live around you. To begin to live out your Christian life in those 8 households. Begin to reach out to them. Are you getting nervous right now? Are you getting a little sweaty? There are certain personalities that don't have a problem with that, but most do. Most struggle. Most think that will be an intrusion. That will be really awkward. I won't know what to say. But remember what Jesus said. If you do this, the carrot that he's hanging out there is, if you do this, you'll have life. And the word is Zoe, and it doesn't mean just eternal life. Of course, we're saved by grace, not by works. What Jesus is saying is you'll have vitality in your life. You'll have vigor in your life. This will add meaning to your life by working through those anxious feelings and bringing the love of Christ into your neighborhood. It might require a change of thinking, some spontaneity. But in the process, not only will you bless other people, you will be blessed. In our association of churches, the Church of the Resurrection, there's these parents that came up with a story, and so they sent a little camera crew to talk to this little 4-year-old Lindy, who one day woke up and announced to her parents, "This is going to be Happy Neighbor Day." Did you give your attention to the screen?
Well, Happy Neighbor Day is for kids that really like to share with their neighbors of what they hear. So pictures of on this same canvas with those colors. Well, I gave them to my neighbors while we walked down the street. So we each crept down to the house and then left on the front doorstep if they weren't there today. Because I was using generosity to help. Well, it helps because everyone likes a little gift to have for their life. I felt happy because I wanted to give away my stuff I already had. The next pictures are going to go to them and them. So it's going to be nice for everyone to have pictures, a little gift for me.
I just felt really uncomfortable because I didn't know these people. And so I thought I'm going to knock on their door and give them a random painting. Like, that's totally uncomfortable. Yeah.
I don't want to harass people.
Yeah.
It's that gross
feeling.
I'd rather
just stay in my bubble, really.
Yeah. Linda didn't really convince us. She just kind of took the paintings and went. And so we had to follow her. And so there we were, just like kind of chasing her down the street as she was knocking on doors. Yeah.
Well, at first we kind of stood back and I kind of was just like, just go up to the door. I'm right here on the sidewalk. And then she wanted us to come up to the door with her. So we did. And it was fine. We just left them on a couple doors. And one person actually was there and got her painting and said thank you. And Lyndon was really excited and wanted to go make more stuff.
Well, the neighbor across the street baked us cupcakes, which was nice. One of the other neighbors that gave us a painting walks her dogs every morning, and so when she comes by and Lyndon's outside, they have a little conversation, which didn't used to happen. So it's kind of started to kind of break that ice a little bit, kind of soften everyone a little bit. I think loving your neighbor is pretty simple when you get down to it. I think it's acting like a 4-year-old. I think it's being spontaneous. I think it's being fearless. No inhibitions.
Yeah, just being who you are. Like, not caring what people think, not caring what you look like or what you're doing. Just living life, really.
If you can see her over here, it's getting paint all over your hands and our front porch.
Be good to your neighbors, and I love you all.
So I'm declaring it Happy Neighbor Day. For 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about this, and I hope that we're developing habits that will last long beyond this 3 weeks. And rather than taking on the whole world and trying to eat the entire elephant at lunch, I just want us to take some time to think about who our neighbors are and think about the example that this little girl just said about being spontaneous, just being yourself, that maybe we've made this too big a thing, that maybe when we just run into people by the mailbox, that's an opportunity to just say, how's your day? Or when somebody just moves into the neighborhood to bring over some cookies. If somebody just had a baby, to buy a gift card for a meal at Dairy Queen and bring that over and say congratulations. I mean, so often we don't know how we would ever represent our faith or witness to our love for Jesus in the world, but I think Jesus told us how to. Love your neighbor. I think we all have several excellent excuses why we haven't been doing this. But I want to assure you, every one of us can do this. Every one of us can love our neighbor. And when we do this, honestly, person by person in each one of those houses, you will change your block. And when you change your block, you'll change the world. Amen?